Great. Thank you so much, Thelma. I think her thing about, she got a meltdown email from me during the week. Why did I agree to do this? So thank you, Thelma, for that. I'm going to use an image and a metaphor. Now, metaphors are always risky because they have limits, and I'm probably going to push it a bit, but hopefully there will be something in it. I want the image to remain there during my talk because if you ever think of nothing else, agree with nothing else, maybe this will speak to you. However, I will claim Peter's disclaimer that I may be wrong, but I also think Peter's disclaimer is missing the bit that there might be a couple of things that maybe, hopefully, are a little bit right. So let's hope. And I know with Peter there's always a lot more than a little bit, so we live in hope. I don't know if you are familiar with this concept of kintsugi. And this is what you have here. I think it's an amazing concept. When we break something or something is no longer, you know, we no longer can use it for the purpose, we either throw it away or we generally try to mend it in a way that it cannot be seen. However, there is this art form in Japanese culture called kintsugi whereby they celebrate the damage, the breaks, and they use something very precious and lovely, gold, in order to mend those breaks. And this becomes part of the new beauty of the object. So we celebrate the beauty of this object and we celebrate the history of what this object has been through and acknowledge that that is what contributes to its beauty here and now. And I wanted to use this image and this metaphor for both myself personally, but perhaps for us as a community. So firstly, what has formed my bowl? And some of you will know this more than others. Initially, my family, with a strong sense of Labour Party politics, community action, social justice, healthy dose of atheism, Albany Methodist Church, perhaps the same sort of thing. No, not the atheism, but again, the foundations of my faith from the time I was three, with significant Sunday school teachers and so on. Later on, Beach Mission and the meeting of some of you here, the Prince family, obviously, and later coming to Perth to attend Bedford Gospel Chapel, which for a country girl, greatly at risk, highly naive, very idealistic, it was a safe landing place. I later came to not agree with a lot of the theology, but I am forever grateful for the safe landing that it offered me in my late teens, early 20s. There was further involvement with Scripture Union and its exposure to Christian social justice. This was the first coming together of my faith and of my upbringing in Labour Party politics. There were people, very significant people. There were books. My wonderful husband Michael, with whom I've been on this journey for a long time now, 47 years. We went to Regent College to study theology and we attended an amazing church called Marine View Chapel. All of this has fed in to my bowl. And it goes on. Intentional community life when we returned from Canada with its ups and its downs and its challenges. Having kids with their ups and their downs and their challenges. Living and working in Nepal. Working for TIER and, of course, here at Mount Hawthorne Community Church. Working for creating communities. Now retirement. A rich selection of friends. And even those people with whom I have clashed over the year. This has all gone into the formation of my bowl. And what's in my bowl? What are the values that I want filling my life? Loving God, caring for others, social justice, generosity, a love of politics, community and community development, to name some. There's a lot more. But what has cracked and broken over the years? I didn't save the world. I've hurt people that I didn't mean to, and I've made mistakes, plenty. Dear friends have died and left gaping cracks in my life. Relationships within the family have been challenging. A daughter who battled chronic fatigue for many years. Our son is blind, and my back is giving out, and I lack energy to be doing the sorts of things I know I ought to be doing, putting myself often ahead of God. I have revealed to myself and others a lack of patience in many situations, particularly dealing with young children and elderly parents. And then there are stress fractures appearing very often. But what is the gold? And there is much. That is the thing about getting to 67. There's a lot. God has intervened in my life in quite miraculous and unexpected ways. He has brought amazing people all through my life, adventures in many countries, and of course the joys of living and working in Nepal. The richness of a fulfilling career in communities with joys big and small. The rich friendships of so many who have cared for me. And of those who are no longer here, I am left with the imprint of their lives on mine. So what does this mean for how I live out my faith now? And how do I stay true to what I want to be in my bowl? And what gold can I bring? The longer I live, the more gold there is. Yes, there are also a lot of cracks, probably a lot more than here. I am no longer the bright, shiny person that I was at 20. I no longer have the stamina to do many of the things I did in the past. Yet, I still want the same things in my bowl. Loving God, caring for others, enabling social justice in the wider world, community and community development. The way that I used to express these values is no longer quite relevant. It needs to be different. I need to express these things in ways that are true to who I am now. What can I now do to bring the gold accumulated over my life to things now? I share some of this not to be right or offer solutions, but to share the journey and the struggle with those of you who may be experiencing similar struggles. I am also only at the beginning of figuring things out for myself, let alone anyone else. I am hoping that this will also contribute to conversations we have with one another as we support each other's journeys. The things that I do are not surprising or different to that of many others, or many of you who are sitting here, but they are me. Some of the things I've picked up on is, how do I continue to care for others? A lot of my caring these days is soaked up by family, and I accept that this is the season for that. But I still commit to caring and supporting a number of friends and people. I've been meeting many years with a small group of women from here, as well as circles of friends in different spheres of life. And just this year, I felt challenged to broaden this out and get to know people who I didn't know well, and I have committed to being part of another small group from here. In community, how do I express that? Well, here at Mount Hawthorne, the loss of Claire prompted me to think, what else can I do at Mount Hawthorne that is within my capacity? And baby steps, seeing me here speaking to you today, filling a teaching spot, as well as committing to leading an extra service this year. In my broader community work, I continue to support younger colleagues in community development. And I go back to the office, into the office for 5 hours every week. I am now, as of this week, officially responsible for the staff training program. This keeps my brain and heart in the community development stuff that I have loved and lived so long, for so long. And with a very light fingerprint, I'm lightly involved in the community life of our apartment building through involvement in a short-term action group. I'm still trying to figure out what it means in this stage of my life around the social justice stuff. But I'm encouraged and challenged by the example of Dave and Ange, who stayed with us just last month. And to see, both physically and spiritually, the big person of Dave now confined basically to a couch alongside Ange, and yet maintain his international relationships and ministry and his interfaith work was an incredible challenge to me personally. And there are the small challenges too that I see here. I feel encouraged by Gail learning Noongar. I feel encouraged when any of you share those things that you are still doing. As Michael will tell you, I'm a news junkie, and keeping up with politics and global issues remains a passion for me. But I am looking at what small things I can do in my circles now, supporting the successful implementation of the Uluru Statement from the Heart. Even in my reduced capacity, in many ways, there must be something small I can do. But I realise too that as much as what I do, more important is my being. And that comes from the inside. And as Richard Rohr says, as we age, the container of our life is filled with more and more. And this we simply bring to any situation. We are here, and our here-ness is enough. For me, the Kintsugi gold. Micah 6:7 to 8, and we often quote the last part of this, but the first verse 8, it was the one that particularly challenged me. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and work humbly with your God. As I've struggled with this stuff in my own personal life, I've also reflected on our community life here at Mount Hawthorne Community Church. We're no longer bright and shiny and new. We've been here, 25 years now? More? 30? 24, so it's nearly 25. What has formed our bowl here at Mount Hawthorne? Our heritage, initial heritage from West Leederville, and that which others have brought into our community over the years. We've had Glenn with his Baptist heritage, Claire with her Lutheran heritage, many of you sitting here with your backgrounds, Brethren, Anglican, Methodist, others, Catholic. What a richness, your gifts and your talents. But what has cracked and broken? Running church, no matter how informal or low-key, takes work and quite a number of committed people. We have lost over the years many dear people. Some of our people have died and left us trying to cope with those cracks. Others have left for other churches, with some having felt they could not really connect in with us. Others have lost their faith and felt that any church on a Sunday is no longer for them. We have others who are dear members still, but have to deal with health issues, either their own or their family. In past years in our history, we used to attract lots of young people, couples searching in their faith for something different in church life. For whatever reasons, we no longer experience so much of that. But what is the gold that we have for these cracks? A rich history of being together, fun times, sad times, the support of one another in tough times, a place to mourn and a place to rejoice, and incredible talent and gifts. The generosity and willingness of so many people to volunteer, both members and guests. We have Paul's music, other musos, the teaching from Glenn, Peter and Claire and numerous other speakers. A place where it has been okay to come and doubt, to show up just for morning tea. The gold is what is still holding us all together. And what do we want in the bowl? And with this I've heard and gathered from work we have done together over the years, but inclusion, love, spirituality. We want to be in touch with God. Social justice, a hospitable heart and welcoming of all. No doctrinal correctness, but supporting each other practically and in our work with God. We love our music. Many years ago, we decided not to be a programmatic church with a leader who dictated our agenda. We opted for the community model and service to be out there, and we would support one another in that. And we love to be informal. And I probably haven't described everything that is in our bowl. So where are we at now as a community? How can we continue to be a life-giving community? How can we love God and our neighbours, support one another, stand for the values we espouse as a community and church? And as we now struggle to put together our rosters, as we are stretched in caring for family, as our children move to different life stages, requiring different things of us, as our finances reduce, I, for one, am so glad and grateful for all the gold that is in our bowl. How can we draw on that gold to continue to bring beauty to our community life? Sorry, I don't have the answers. We are already making small adjustments. Maybe other changes are needed. But let us move into our future with prayerfulness, openness, compassion, gentleness, patience, creativity and generosity. However big or small we are as a community, for however long as we are together, let us remain true to what is at the heart of us. While our activities may change, our being and how we are being with one another remains crucial. I, for one, don't want to lose what is in that bowl. I'm going to read from a quote from Richard Rohr. In the second half of life, it is good just to be a part of the general dance. We do not have to stand out, make defining moves, and I'm applying this to the church, to our community here, or be better than anyone else on the dance floor. Life is more participatory than assertive, and there is no need for strong or further self-definition. God has taken care of all that, much better than we ever expected. The brightness comes from within now, and it is usually more than enough. The dance has a seriousness to it, but also an unselfconscious freedom of form that makes it bright and shining. Think of two old lovers quietly dancing to a soft clarinet and piano melody of the 1940s, safe and relaxed in each other's arms, unconcerned whether anyone is watching. The dance is completely for its own sake. At this stage, I no longer have to prove that I or myself or my group is the best, that my ethnicity is superior, that my religion is the only one that God loves, or that my role and place in society deserves superior treatment. I am not preoccupied with collecting more goods and services. Quite simply, my desire and effort every day is to pay back, to give back to the world a bit of what I have received. I now realize that I have been gratuitously given to from the universe, from society, and from God. What I would like you to do now is to close your eyes and cup your hands around your imagined bowl. What has formed your bowl individually and in Mount Hawthorne Community Church? Give thanks for that. What is cracked and broken, let us acknowledge that. And what's the gold? What do you want to be in the bowl now? What actions, if any, might you want to take differently? Or how might you want to be with the current actions and things that you are already doing? For now, not as you've done in the past, not as you might do in the future, but for now. And now, if you might open your eyes and place your bowl carefully, because you've just put a lot into that. And I'll finish by reading Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen. This time for comments, questions.
Indeed, your bowl is still beautiful. Indeed, it is more beautiful with the cracks repaired.
Yes. Thank you.
Over the last couple of years, with things happening in our church, as you said, there's been a lot of grief and sorrow. There's been also lots of joy. And sometimes we go, well, what are we doing? Should we still be here? And for me, you've articulated what's been swirling around and what people have been thinking about, and it's just articulated for me everything about why I'm here today. And thank you. It's just wow. Thank you. What
thank
a wonderful,
you.
Wonderful talk.
Thank you.
Thank you again. I love the acceptation of the brokenness and beauty together. This is not a question, it's a question for everybody here. Will you still love me if you know how broken I am? And if I don't turn the bowl around so you can't see those cracks, will you still love me if you can see how cracked and broken I am?
Yeah.
Because I really need that.
Yes. I think our tradition is always to hide the cracks. And yet our cracks are what make us. And I think, I mean, I haven't read all of the Richard Rohr book, but I think it is, that's the richness of life. And really, that's what Nepal taught me as well, you know. Something that's really broken can be incredibly beautiful and always loved. So, Ken, you are always loved. And you are definitely a loved person in this community. And of course we see each other's cracks. We've known each other a long time. But that's the beauty. Thank you.
Just one commentary on my beloved. the territory you didn't speak about of where we give energy is grandparenting. Parenting and grandparenting.
True.
Which is a huge space. Of both life and tension and sorrow at times.
Yes.
The other thing for my is I, in framing that, I love Richard Rohr's characteristics of second half of life that feed into that, where he says the characteristics of the second half of life is a bright sadness, an ability to hold suffering and sadness differently. And we know the people who are brightly sad versus bitter and twisted. Bright sadness, a second simplicity, able to hold complexity and paradox and contradiction differently. And shadowlands, willing to acknowledge and accept and own our brokenness and our shadow sides.
Yeah.
And then new agendas of being less attached to a whole lot of stuff. So I find that really helpful framing, I guess, of the bowl.
Yep.
Of the second half of my life. And some days are better than others of that.
It's always dangerous to push a metaphor. But in mending the bowl with gold, it's the most costly repair, and it takes great skill. And I think, you know, Ken's mentioning of how hard it is to reveal those cracks, we need to trust one another, to invest in one another, our most precious things that we bring to that mending process. And our skill is sometimes not enough, so our mend might fail sometimes, but we can have another go.
Yeah. I guess if we push the metaphor, for me the gold comes from God, however and whatever medium he chooses to use for that gold, whether it's people, circumstances, whatever. But yes. Trish?
I had a very difficult relationship with a church, with a friend in a church quite some years ago now. And we finally sorted it all out. And that was the goal. But through that experience, I concluded that I didn't really love someone until I had really found something in them that I really disliked, and I wrestled with it and accepted them and loved them anyway. So going back to Ken's analogy about, at least Ken's comment about, do you love me, cracks and all? As I say, I think you only really love somebody if you do know the cracks. Otherwise, it's just admiration.
Right. And I agree, too, that it is the cracks that make this bowl special and even more beautiful, you know. So if we don't have genuine authenticity in our relationships, it's not true. In sharing this stuff today, and there was a lot more I could have said, and I just opted to try and keep it simple, is that I really hope that going forward we can share our cracks because really that's what we're here for, you know, to be walking with things that are not always great. We're not a triumph. It's never been in our bowl to be a triumphalist church, you know. And so I hope that this is a conversation, and that however, you know, if we end up with four people here, we can still share those cracks and the journey and the joys and the beauty for one another. What would be tragic is if we just let it all drift out the door. Whereas I think, you know, we can celebrate and enjoy and support one another. And maybe in years past we did the string thing where we had all these magnificent things that we're all highly active in. Maybe we need to do it again with what we are now. And maybe that's smaller things but deeper. And maybe it's, you know, as Richard Rohr says, maybe it's how we're expressing our here-ness with all our heritage now. I don't know. I just tossed that out. I think that's probably it.